Welcome to Richer Life Insights. Our goal is to help you drive more money, motivation, and meaning into your life. Today, I'm having a conversation with Megan Meyer. What I want to talk about today is for everyone who's ever said, gosh, I really want to write a children's book. Well, I have someone who has done just that. Again, her name is Megan Meyer, and she's written a fabulous book called The Great Adventures of Lariat the Liger. It is a children's book that we are going to talk about her experience, what worked, what didn't. Maybe you can learn from not only some of her great ideas and tips, but also possibly from some of the mistakes that she has gone through in this process. So firstly, Megan, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom.
Thank you for having me.
So again, I have to say I really, really enjoyed your book. I've been reading it to my 5.5-year-old daughter, and she thinks it's fabulous. Why don't you just quickly tell people sort of briefly what Lariat the Liger is all about?
Well, I initially came up with the idea from my mom, who is an elementary school teacher. And a few years back, right after the movie Napoleon Dynamite came out, a bunch of kids in her class were constantly drawing and talking about ligers. And my mom didn't know what they were, and she was just saying, whoever ends up writing a children's book about ligers, these kids are going to go crazy for it. Someone should really do that. And basically, she put the idea in my head, and I said, I could do that. And so I started to write and illustrate the book from there.
And so what exactly is a liger? Because when I got the book, I didn't exactly know what it was.
Well, it is a cross between a lion and a tiger, and it's actually a hybrid animal that does exist, not in the wild, but in the zoo. They've been known to breed, and it's a real animal.
Yeah, and also in the book, sort of the back flap, you talk about all these other sort of hybrid animals that are out there that I had no idea existed. So it's a really fun book. It's got a nice positive message in it about Lariat, who feels kind of alone because he's this strange thing. So it's got a great message as well. And so did you always want to write a children's book, or did it just happen that this was, you thought was a great opportunity to do something?
No, I actually had never thought about it before until my mom put the idea in my head, and I just thought, that's something I could do. I was in college at the time as a graphic design major, so I was familiar with different mediums of drawing and also graphic design layout. And the story just sort of came to me from talking with my mom and actually my grandma, who gave me some ideas on a storyline, and it was really quick. The writing process went by really fast, but it was the illustrations that actually took me the longest time to complete.
Yeah, no, the illustrations are just beautiful. I'm sure they took a long
time. Thank you.
And so how long did it take from the idea of, you know what, I can write a children's book, to actually holding the book in your hand?
Well, it was about 5 years, but that wasn't working on it full time. I started it as a senior in college, just sort of messing around with different drawing techniques, feeling things out. And then I continued on to grad school, where I just sort of worked on it here and there when I felt inspired. And it was just sort of the last year I was pregnant, and I set a goal of, I want to get this done before the baby comes, because I'm not going to have much time to work on it after that. So I sort of, over the last summer, 2010, I just sort of powered through the last bits and finished it. So all in all, it was about 5 years, but that was not full-time work whatsoever.
If you had to come up with another book today, let's say you had the idea today, how long do you think it would take to actually write it and illustrate it and to hold it in your hand?
I think that I would be able to streamline it to be about a year.
Yeah, so the first time, clearly it wasn't full-time, and you must have learned a lot from having gone through this once before. I know with my first book, it took a lot longer the first time to write it than it did the second time. And so hopefully with this call today, we will help people you know, shorten the time that they have, because, you know, 5 years is a long time. And I know people have ideas for books in them, and they just want to get them out there and, you know, get them on Amazon.com and these other places and really share their message with others.
Mm-hmm.
So now what was the first step? You came up with the idea and you had already had some graphic design experience. Did you know from the beginning that you were also not only going to write it, but also illustrate it?
Yeah, and I think I almost started the illustrations before I started working on the story. The reason it took so long for the drawings was because I wasn't exactly sure how I was going to do them. I was sort of developing a new style as I went along that consisted of, you know, scribbling pastels on paper, just really messy, and then cutting them out with scissors and arranging them, scanning them into the computer, and then arranging all the different pieces in Photoshop, and on top of that, adding some extra effects, shadows, and maybe adjusting colors here and there, shrinking and enlarging things. So it was a multi-step process, very complicated. I don't know that I would do it the same way again, but if I did, it would be a lot quicker for me.
Now, I'm somewhat naive in this area of children's books and illustrations, but do people do it by hand and then they transfer it to computer, or are there people who just create it first on the computer?
I'm sure that most people probably still draw it by hand. I know there's also children's books where people do it on the computer, but I think that's the minority. You can sort of tell just from looking at it, I think, how each individual drawings were done for the most part.
And with your book, every page is full illustrations, many, many colors, many variations, and it takes up the entire page. And mm-hmm. So my daughter also likes to read Curious George books, right? And there are little tiny pictures, very, very simple. And so what was your rationale for deciding to do really, really intricate illustrations?
Well, with this book, I kind of set out to create what would have been my ideal book as a kid. I loved bright colors, full-page illustrations. I loved rhyming in the story, and that's how my story is as well. And I loved quirky, funny animals or different characters. So I sort of combined all of the things that I liked as a child, and I also threw in a couple extra things in the back where I have a section you can draw your own hybrid and name it, and then some information about ligers and the other animals that actually exist out there. And those were the sort of things that I really liked in a book as a kid. So,
yeah, and I mean, this book is a very well done. You pick it up and it's a solid book. Like you said, the illustrations are full page. There's a lot of other kinds of information in the back about other hybrids. So this was not cheap, clearly. Anyone who picks this up realizes this was not a cheap book to make. And so how did you go about finding someone to print this?
Well, it was really important to us that we found a printer who would be able to deliver a professional product in the end. We didn't want to look like this was our first go at writing or publishing a children's book. We wanted to blend in with all the major publishers if it eventually got into a major store like Barnes & Noble or Borders. So the first step was internet searching for a printer that specializes in children's books. It didn't turn up that many options, but there was about maybe 6 or 7 different printers that we had send us samples in the mail so we could sort of feel the quality and look at the pictures and see if there was something with bright colors that we could sort of picture the quality that our book would be, would come out like. And there was a lot of unprofessional, poorly bound books that we weren't that happy with from a lot of printers. And actually, I would say one of the most frustrating processes of creating this book was finding a printer that we were happy with.
So that was a that was a problem then. I mean, you would think that there would be so many printers out there that would jump at this and have the resources to do it, but you're saying that it was actually very difficult.
Yeah, and one of the problems is that we were looking to find and work with the actual printer. There's a lot of middlemen on the internet that target people who are self-publishing, that they are a go-between between you and the printer in actually getting your book printed, and they take a cut. It was hard to actually find the printer themselves and work directly with them because we wanted to cut out extra people taking a cut of our profits.
Now, so what do these middlemen, middlewomen do? Do they make life a little bit easier, or are they simply just connecting you to the printer?
Well, they can make life a little bit easier. Their company register the ISBN number for you, but those are all things you can do by yourself. But it could be helpful if you don't have any experience in layout or don't know how to do that, then it might be very helpful for you to use one of them if you need someone to help you lay out your book.
Do they also get involved in the, like, titling or coming up with the book jacket design, things like that?
Yeah, they can help you do the design as well. I don't think there's any that will provide illustration services for you if you happen to just write the story, but it's possible that some of them do that as well.
And so now with these middlemen, because I'm sure if people are out there searching, these are the people that they're going to find early on when they do a search.
That's what turns up first, for sure. There's quite a few.
Do they typically take not only a higher commission on each book sold, but do you also have to pay something up front?
Yes, I believe you do. And it's the same with the printer. We paid half up front, and then on delivery of the final product, we paid the remainder.
But what you paid for is really copies of the book, right?
Right, nothing more.
Nothing just more. Because I think if the children's sort of middlemen companies are the same as traditional book publishing companies, a lot of them will not only charge a higher commission for each book sold, but they'll also charge you several thousand dollars just to be a client, maybe to help with the design a bit, maybe to help get the ISBN and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so you decided you could do a lot of that yourself. I mean, really, how long does it take to get an ISBN number?
That was one of the easiest things to do.
Right. I mean, it's literally, you could do it probably in an hour, I'm guessing. I mean, probably not that long from what I understand. It's quite
right. And it's pretty inexpensive. We bought, I think, 10 ISBN numbers just in case we want to do future books for $100.
Right. So that part is easy. And so by cutting out the middleman, you went directly to the printer. Were there a couple of printers that you really liked and it was difficult to choose one, or was there one that really stood out as being the best for what you were doing?
Well, there was one that definitely stood out as being the best. They happened to specialize in children's books, which was really helpful because the samples they sent over looked a lot more professional since that was all that they did. And we really wanted to print in the U.S. We did just for pricing, just to see, compare a printer in China, just one, and it was actually more expensive, so it was an easy decision to go with the one in the U.S.
Now, hold on, let me make sure I understood. What you're saying is that it was cheaper to print in the U.S. than it was to print in China?
From the one Chinese printer that we did price out, yes. And he was shocked that I told him the price that we found on the printer in the U.S. So I was pretty pleased too. I felt like we were getting a good deal at that point.
That's pretty amazing. So you found one in China. What was the one you actually went with in the U.S. that you really liked?
They were a printer that was based in Minnesota, and I'm in California, so there was an extra cost shipping the books. I think it was around, we printed 2,000, and I think it was around $800, I want to say, for the shipping. So that part wasn't cheap, but the printers in California didn't quite meet our standards. So.
And so, what was the actual printer in Minnesota that you went with?
The name of the printer was Bang Printing.
Bang Printing. Okay.
B-A-N-G.
And so you found the printer. I'm sure that was a huge relief. I'm sure that took a lot of time. So then you sent them copy, or you sent them your illustrations. How did that process work once you decided to go with them?
Well, after we had the finished product of the book that we had fully laid out the design, and it was fully complete. And once the files were completely done, we sent them over to the printer, and they created a proof that they sent over to us for us to approve to make sure that the colors all looked good and matched. And then they proceeded, once we approved it, proceeded to print the books, which took about 6 to 8 weeks before we had the copy in our hands.
And so that the 6 to 8 weeks for the proof or for the actual book?
No, for the actual book.
For the actual book. How long for the proof?
The proof was within a week. It was really quick.
And what kind of file did you send to them? Clearly we're not talking about a Word document, are we?
No, it was a PDF file. The book was all laid out in a program called InDesign that all of the artwork was transferred into, and that's where we laid out the text.
InDesign, is that a program that people use specifically for designing books, or is it just kind of like a Photoshop where a lot of designers use it?
A lot of designers use it for layout, so it's not necessarily for books, but if you had a catalog or a brochure sometimes, a multi-page document is what you would use that program for.
Is that an expensive program?
I would say you probably wouldn't be purchasing it if you didn't professionally need to use it. So, yes, I guess.
Pretty expensive. Now, are you familiar with Elance.com?
Yes, I am. For a second, I had to remember.
Yeah.
Yes, I do know what it is.
Yeah, I mean, Elance, it's a bunch of freelancers, and if you're a freelancer, you can go on there and sort of post your resume. Or how I use it is if I'm looking to find maybe a graphic designer, maybe I want to create a logo, I've created some ebooks before, so I needed someone to help with the layout design. I'm just wondering, and I'm sure that if you went on to Elance or a site like that, if you had the illustrations or if you just had the copy, that you could find someone to illustrate it for you or find someone who has this InDesign program who does this for a living. So if that's not your expertise, you could go find someone to do it for you.
Absolutely. Elance would be a great place to start, and there's always Craigslist too.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you could find someone local, which I'm sure might even be nicer.
Yeah, we created an iPad version for the book, and we hired a professional voice off of Craigslist who was absolutely amazing to work with, and she came over to our home, and we just hashed it all out in a couple of hours with her, and she was a fabulous price.
That is awesome. Well, you've got a great voice. Why didn't you read it?
I recorded my voice at one point and decided I didn't like it enough to be the official voice of the book. So.
You are your own worst critic. so that's interesting. I didn't know you created an iPad version for it.
Yeah, that was another step that we did. It's not finished. It's not up on Apple. But we figured that's the way of the future, and it would be a great thing to develop since we already had everything on the computer.
So did you have to outsource the development of the iPad version? Because I know that you and your husband have a sort of a graphic design marketing company. So did you do it yourself?
Yeah, well, we did part of it ourselves. And us having a graphic design and marketing company probably is what enabled us to do it. We did part of it, and my husband works with some programmers who are overseas that he had develop the rest of it. So it was very inexpensive for us to do and a quick process, but I could see if you hadn't had any experience working with programmers before, that might be a difficult and maybe a little too expensive thing to do right away.
Yeah. No, I can see that the iPad version certainly would be the way to go in the future if you have an idea for a book. But otherwise, if you don't have some of the resources or expertise that you had, it would probably be several thousand dollars. I'm just guessing, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and I would just be worried about, too, because the iPad is a newer thing and there's new different programs that need to be used to develop an iPad version. A lot of people may not have experience doing it, and if you don't know what you're getting into, you might find a programmer who says they can do it, but they've never actually built an iPad version before, and it might not turn out exactly how you want it.
From a guy who's worked with, I don't know, 50 different programmers and developers, I can say that is so, so true. You never, never know exactly what you're getting. Even if they have a portfolio, it can look great, but you never know, one, if they actually created what they did in their portfolio or how responsive they're going to be. So, yeah.
Right, and that's a lesson we had already learned years ago with some mistakes. So we were already aware of what to look for by the point when we were ready to develop the iPad version.
Right, right. So when will that be out, do you think?
That should be out within the next month.
Okay. All right,
but I think there's sort of a process. Apple needs to approve it. I think there's some sort of waiting period, so it might be a little more than that.
So this is not a iBook version. This is an application?
No, it is an iBook.
It's an iBook.
Yes.
I didn't realize that with an iBook you could have it narrated.
Yeah, you can have it read. There's a choice. It can read it to you, or you can read it to yourself, so you can have the sound on or off, and then there's the characters in the book. There's some moving pieces, and then you can tap on it, and they'll say extra things that aren't in the story. That's how we have it set up.
Got it. Okay. All right. So files sent to the printer. You've approved the proof, and then 6 to 8 weeks later, you get how many? You get all 2,000, or do they send you just part of them?
No, you get all the books.
Okay, so the doorbell rings, it's UPS, and they've got 2,000 books. What happens then?
Well, you get a giant pallet of a lot of boxes of heavy books to take up a ton of space in your garage.
All right, so you're storing them in your garage. And why not? I'm sure you're familiar with print on demand. Did you look into, so for anyone listening who's not familiar with print on demand, rather than hiring a printer, printing 1,000 or 2,000 copies and storing them yourself with print on demand, if someone goes to Amazon.com and wants to buy your book, as soon as they click buy, the book is printed right then and shipped. So there is no inventory. And so what was the reason for printing versus doing this print on demand technology?
Well, with the print-on-demand, you're going to pay a lot more per book, but it's probably not going to be a very profitable option. I tend to think that with the printing-on-demand, it might be a way to sort of feel out your audience or see if it's something you really want to do or invest in, or if you're just doing a small quantity of books. But for if you are serious about having thousands of books that you're trying to sell, it's not going to be the most economical option.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because I've run the numbers myself, again, not on children's books, but on traditional books. And yeah, I mean, with a print on demand, you might pay as the owner of the book, you might pay, I don't know, $6 to $8 per book if it's print on demand. And if you have a bunch printed, like you did, it might be $3 to $4. Again, we're not talking about full page illustrations.
Right.
For you, maybe you can explain sort of what your cost per book is and how much you're retailing it for, and if you've got it into stores, how much they're charging you, those kinds of things. Just so people have an idea in their minds of what the numbers might look like.
Sure. Well, we priced the book at $16.95, and we arrived at that price just from going into the bookstores and looking at the other books of similar quality and size, and that seemed to be a little less than the average. And we thought that would be a good price point. Per copy, the final cost, including shipping, I think was around $265 a book.
$265, that's it?
Yeah, that was a pretty good price. I talked to another children's book author with a similar book who the best price they could find was around $8 a book. So that made me feel pretty good as well that we had found a good printing.
I've got to say that I now know why the printer in China was so flabbergasted. $265 is absolutely incredible, because I've priced, again, black and white, no illustrations, really simple kinds of just textbooks, and we're talking about at least $450, $550 per book. So that is absolutely remarkable that you were able to do it for $2.65, including the shipping.
Yeah, and obviously the more you order, the more the price goes down. We initially just priced out just to see how much it would be for 25, 30,000 copies, and the price did go down to under $2 a book at that point as well.
And that's for 25 or 30,000 copies.
Yeah, that's a lot
more.
Yeah,
so you know what? It's worth the extra 65 cents to only have 2,000 printed.
Right.
Was 2,000 kind of the minimum, or would they have done fewer?
No, you could do less than that. I think the minimum might have been around 500, but the price did go up pretty substantially. I think we decided that 2,000 copies was kind of the point where the price broke and was a good place to be at.
Okay. Do you remember at all what the 500 copy amount was?
I want to say it was around 450.
Around 450. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, that's a big difference per book.
Mm-hmm.
And so you came up with the price, $16.95, because you looked at other competing sort of works at bookstores. And now you've got 2,000 copies. They're ready to go. What do you do at that point?
Well, that process we've sort of just been feeling out over the past month and a half since we've had the books in our hands. We've done a few different things. I went down to a few local bookstores in my area and showed them the book and asked if they wanted to carry it. Small little children's shops that sell clothing and books, and then some bookstores as well. And that tends to be more, if you don't have a distributor, they want to do it on consignment. And I sort of thought, if I'm going to all these little stores and doing a book here, a book there, it's a lot to keep track of. So I decided I didn't want to do that.
Okay, let's just explain that. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Sure.
Let's explain that just a bit so people understand exactly what you're talking about. So you've gone to a few local bookstores and you've said, hey, here's my great book. Check it out. I know you love it. Why don't you buy some? And they say, we love it, but we want to sell it on consignment. So what does that mean?
Well, some of them did buy a copy, but some of them it was, you know, the store policy that local authors, if you weren't through their distributor, they only did consignment. And that just basically means that you might get more money per book, like 60%, and they take 40% of the retail price. But they don't pay you up front, so your book sits in their store until it sells, and then when it does sell, they'll mail you a check.
Yeah, I can see how, you know, driving from little boutique to boutique, trying to keep track of each, and did they sell, didn't they sell, and I could see how that could be very time-consuming.
Yeah, and I did it with one book. I left a book on consignment, and I walked by a few weeks later, only a few weeks, just to see if it had sold yet, and the store was going out of business, and I probably wouldn't have gotten the book back if I didn't pop in.
Wow.
To see how it was doing. So that's another risk, I guess, you would take if you went that route.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that seems to be the fate of, unfortunately, so many bookstores, small mm-hmm. and large.
Right.
So the other option you said is if you go through their distributor. Now, what is that about?
Well, a distributor is another company that would take a cut of your book. So if you went through a traditional publisher, they would work with a distributor that would distribute the stores, distribute the books into the stores. If you don't have a publisher, you would have to get in with a distributor yourself, but it's actually an application process where they have to accept you. Currently, we are in select Barnes & Noble stores, and we got into the store with just directly talking to the stores themselves, and Barnes & Noble actually said that they would, I don't know if this was on the record, but the manager was telling us that it's better for them if you bypass the distributor and went directly to them because they make more money, you make more money, but it's hard to get as broad of a audience for your book that way. It's more of on an individual basis.
So it's basically each Barnes & Noble, maybe you talk to the manager there, and if she says, great, we'll take it, then you don't have to go through their distributor?
Yeah, and they just said, why don't you wait and see how the book does in the stores before you go getting in with the distributor? And that was something that just happened a few weeks ago. So one store near us has 30 copies of the book, and we had a display made so they would my books in its own separate section so it stands out a little better in the children's book section in the store, and there's 30 copies of the book. They actually paid ahead of time, but it's still on a consignment contract basis where if at a certain point they don't sell, I think we have to buy the books back from them.
Okay, so they wrote you a check for 30 books. It clearly it's not the retail price. What kind of a cut do bookstores generally take if you bypass their distributor?
Well, it was a 60-40 cut. We had the 60%. So that was better than I think if you went through the distributor, you received 45%.
Right. Okay. So they make a little more, you make a little more.
And that's not even including, I guess, if you were to be with a publisher, you would get much less than
that.
Oh,
you
have. Publisher's taking a cut as well.
You have no idea, Megan. You have no idea. And we'll talk about that in a bit. You didn't go to the distributors directly. You just went to individual bookstores, small and large.
Right.
And can you actually go direct to the distributor?
Yeah, but there is an application process where they have to accept you. You have to have written letters from bookstores or other vendors that saying they want to carry your book so the distributor knows that there's going to be an audience and people who want to purchase the book.
So the first step is you still have to go to these individual bookstores.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, and you develop relationships. Maybe you do some on consignment just to get some books sold so then they can write the letters?
Right.
Okay, and then you can go to the distributor, do their application process. Do you know how long that takes to be approved?
I want to say it's probably a little over a month to 2 months. I'm not entirely sure because we haven't completed that process yet. We haven't applied. We're still in the early stages with the book and feeling out what's going to work best.
Right. And just, I think you mentioned it, but just I just want to make sure. The typical cut, if you go through a distributor, what does that look like?
Well, as a self-publisher, from what we know, I think it was 45% from what we looked into.
So the author gets 45%?
Right.
Okay, and then the rest is split between the distributor and the retailer.
Right.
Okay, so still, 45% is looking a whole lot better than going through a typical publisher. And
right.
So is that why you didn't get atypical publisher like, you know, Simon & Schuster, McGraw-Hill, those kinds of people, because you wanted a much larger cut, or just because you weren't exactly sure how that process went?
Well, for me, I did have a finished product of the book. I had it fully designed, fully laid out. All the artwork was done. So we sort of felt like there wasn't a whole lot we would need a publisher for, and we wanted to feel it out, and we like to do things ourselves and learn about the process a little bit, so we weren't completely opposed to using a publisher at some point. We just wanted to try it ourselves first and see how it went, how difficult it was.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad approach, because you can always self-publish and then at a later date get a larger publisher to come in and to help with the distribution.
Exactly.
But it's very, very difficult to work with a large publisher and then decide, yeah, you know what, I don't want to work with you anymore. I want to take this over myself. Because at that point, you basically have to buy the book from the publisher, usually at an astronomical level.
Right.
And so, yeah, there's no problem in doing it yourself. Because you do learn the process if you decide to do it again. You now know what it takes. You can streamline it and become much more efficient. And so now you're at the point of, and you know, we had talked briefly before about maybe finding an agent to help you get the publisher.
Right. That's something I would like to know more about, or something I'd like to look into more in the future.
Yeah, you know, the publishing world has changed so dramatically just in the last 5 years. I mean, it's a whole different industry than it was just a few years ago, and even prior to that. I mean, it used to be where you could get a book deal without going through an agent. You would just send your manuscript to a publisher. Someone would look at it there and say, hey, you know, this is pretty good. Let's give them a shot, and you would get your book deal. That just does not happen anymore. You have to be represented, and so you have to have a literary agent. And so it's really a two-step process. In order to get a publisher, you first have to get the agent, and then you get the publisher, maybe. And so the process of getting an agent, again, is quite difficult. Agents are taking on, you know, fewer books because publishers are buying fewer books. The appetite for books out there from the consumers are much less than it used to be, even though you have ebooks and all these others that are selling quite well. As a whole, we're just not buying as many books as we used to, and we're not paying the price that we used to. And so for an agent, you really have to attract their attention. And I personally, I don't know if this is true or not, but I really think that if you have a completed book, like you do, that it takes so much of the risk away, not only from getting an agent, but also from getting a publisher. Because again, back in the good old days, all you would need is a book proposal. I mean, when I got my first book deal, all I had was a book proposal, which is kind of like a business plan for a book, what the book's going to be about, you know, other competing titles out there, what they're about, how it's going to be different, how you're going to market it, those kinds of things. So it's really just a business plan, an idea for this book that you want to write. You would pitch it to the publisher, and they'd say, hey, we like it, let's do it, go ahead and write it now. But there's a lot of risk to the publisher in doing that. So if you can show up and just lay down your book and say, here it is, you know, nothing needs to be done, everything, the title is there, the graphics are there, it's all ready to go. All you have to do is give it to your distributors, because that's really the one thing that publishers have right now. Because you can do everything yourself like you did. You can write it yourself. You can illustrate it, whether it's yourself or you can have a freelancer do it. You can get the ISBN. You can print it. I mean, that used to be the big thing that publishers did. They would print your book. Now you can do it for $2.65 a copy. It's really, really easy and it's cheap. So the one thing that they have going for them is that they have distributors. And if you have a printed book like you do, all they have to do is just give it to the printers, to the distributors, and their work is done. And so I know you want to talk to an agent. want to talk to a publisher, and I think it's a good time to do it because you already have the printed book.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can be a very long process, but the nice thing is, if you don't have the book, then you're just waiting. Months and sometimes years can go by, and you're just waiting and hoping, fingers crossed, that someone will say, you know what, we like your book, let's take a chance on you. And you don't have to do that. You're in a completely different position because you're out there. You can sell the book. You can put up a website. You can go to, you know, book fairs, and you can submit the book to different contests and things like that. You're not waiting for somebody else. You're out there. You're already doing it. Whether they want to, you know, sort of raise their hand and say, all right, we'll take your book or not, you're an author. You're a published author, and you're out there selling it. So it puts you in a much better position, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the book is out there. You created the really fantastic website, which does two things. One, it really highlights the book. And two, it highlights your business. And that, of course, is graphic design and marketing and development. And so what would it take? How much do you think it would cost someone who doesn't have the resources and the expertise that you and your husband do to create a website that maybe looks similar to what you did?
Well, I mean, initially you have the registering the domain name. That's cheap. It's about $15. There's different websites that if you were trying to create a website on your own, there's different things out there that you can use to do it yourself. And then there's always hiring a designer, like you said, using Elance or even Craigslist, finding someone who could do it for you in that price could range significantly from a couple hundred to several thousand dollars, depending on the complexity of the website.
Yeah, and so it really can. I mean, it could be a few hundred dollars just for a really basic couple of pages, a couple page website, or significantly more. I mean, your website, and why don't you tell people what the website address is so they can check it out?
The website is www.lariot.com, so it's L-A-R-R-I-O-T.
.com, okay. And on your website, you have a Buy It Now button, and Buy the Book button. And mm-hmm. It doesn't link to Amazon, because you sell your book on Amazon.
Right.
Why, and I know the answer, but why not just link directly to Amazon?
Well, Amazon also takes a cut. They don't take as much as a retail store. They take 30% and you get 70%. But if you buy it from my website, I take 100%. We also threw in free shipping, so there's a little cost there. But having the website allows us to sell the book directly to you, not have to use anybody else. And you make more money that way.
Yeah, you guys definitely like to do things yourselves. Yeah. I think it's great. And so instead of a sort of a typical shopping cart, you go through PayPal.
Right.
Yeah, what was the reason for that? Just because it's easier?
Yeah, it's easier, and PayPal allows someone who doesn't have a PayPal account to just put in their credit card and pay that way as well.
And so you go, and PayPal, what do they take, 3 or 4%?
That's a good question. I can't remember if it's a small percentage like that, or it might be like 25, 50 cents a transaction.
I see. Okay. I know if someone has a PayPal account, I think you're right. I think it's like per transaction. If they use a credit card, because we have a nonprofit that I started, and when we take donations, they take like 3% if someone uses a credit card. But whether it's 50 cents or 3%, it's still much less than if you went through Amazon.
Right. We also have to sell in person. If someone's not paying cash or check, we have a little card reader that we plug into our iPhone, and I think that only costs 25 cents or something each time you run it, so that's actually cheaper than PayPal online.
What do you use, the Square?
Yeah, the Square.
The Square is great. Mm-hmm. I love that. But, you know, if you don't go through Amazon, because you could just click a link directly to Amazon, all of a sudden, now you have to fulfill the order, which means that you have to get the order and wrap up the book and then send it to somebody.
Right.
And so I'm guessing that as you get more and more orders from your website, that clearly will take more time.
Yeah. And it is about, I think it's about $260 a book as well. So it's about the same cost as printing the book just to ship it.
Isn't that remarkable?
Yeah. So, we haven't had too many copies come through the website, so it hasn't been overwhelming, but it definitely is easier to have Amazon stock the book, and they deal with shipping it and everything for 30%.
Which is not bad. And so tell me, how did you get the deal with Amazon? What is that process like?
That process is really simple. They will pretty much take your book. Initially, they won't stock too many copies because they want to see how many copies sell and if it's worthy of taking up space in their warehouse. So I guess if you weren't selling very many copies over X amount of time, they'll send you the copies back if they're storing them and they're not selling. They took 5 copies, and the 5 copies sold, so they requested another 30.
So at first it was 5, and then after selling 5, now they want 30.
Right.
And so do you pay for the shipping to them?
Yes.
Okay.
We do that as well.
And so the application process, pretty straightforward. Was there anyone that actually reviewed the book to see if it was Amazon worthy?
There's someone who reviewed the book when they reviewed it, they picked out certain pages that they wanted to highlight in the quick look that they have so you can see the inside of the book. But as far as accepting or rejecting the book, I think you're pretty much accepted.
Okay. So, well, that's good to know that you can have an online presence. You can be
right.
Selling your book on Amazon pretty easily. And that was a pretty short process, a couple of weeks, you think?
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I think it's become so easy for people to self-publish is because they automatically have a major place to sell their book, which is online.
Right. And with your kind of book, you know, obviously a Kindle wouldn't do it justice, so I'm guessing that you're not even going to create a Kindle version.
Right. There's the Nook that they sell at Barnes & Noble that you can develop an application or an e-book, I guess, is the correct term. But that is actually a separate program from the iPad version, so you have to do a slightly different thing. Unfortunately, you can't just transfer the version that we made for the iPad to the Nook, but there's a few other steps we'd have to take to get it on that as well.
Right. Were there, going through this process, were there any mistakes that you made that you would definitely not make again?
Oh, yes.
Well, all right, let's bring them on.
Initially, I printed 2,500 copies of the book that I was not happy with the way the colors came out. They came out too dark. And this is after having a lot of experience as a graphic designer working with printers. My husband was actually, he worked for a printer as the color correction person, making sure that the colors on the screen and the proofs matched. And we were still not able to deliver a version we were happy with. So that was frustrating and disappointing. But we ended up printing another 2,000 copies and donating the 2,500 copies to various charities. So that was a big blow initially, but
So there's two things there. One, did they send you? They sent the proof, and the actual product you got was different than the proof that you approved.
Well, yes, it came out too dark, which actually happens quite a lot with printing. So initially, we did actually lighten the book up when we prepared the files to send it to the printer. But it's really hard with the how bright all of my colors are and the variation between light and dark, it was really a sensitive process, and you're kind of going in there blind when you're preparing the files, not really sure how it's going to turn out. And I can see why a lot of people do the simple illustrations like Curious George, where color doesn't matter that much. If the green is slightly more yellow than blue, it's not a big deal.
Makes no difference. Right. None at all. And so did you have to eat the cost?
We did, but we can write it off with our taxes, and I think we can write it off for the retail price instead of the price that we paid per copy. So I don't think it'll actually end up being that horrible of a thing for us. But and we did get to donate the books to some great causes, so it wasn't a complete disaster, I guess. And we did get we worked out a deal with the printer to get a discount on the next copies that we had printed.
Right. Yeah. Man, we're still talking about, you know, $6,000 or $7,000. How do people protect themselves against a printer that delivers something different than what was approved?
Well, the proof is generally the binding thing, but with my book, because of the colors and because they were so bright, it was a subtle difference. And as an artist, you know, I was my harshest critic, and I wanted it to be just exactly how it was. Other people may not have noticed much of a difference, but to me, there was a big difference, and I really wanted to feel proud of the book when I was done with it. So it was hard for me to want to sell the pictures when I felt they were too dark and weren't as vibrant as I had hoped they would be.
Right. Yeah. No, I can understand that. You've put a lot of work into this, 5 years of your life, and the last thing you want is that you see something that's just not ideal. So I get that. It's an expensive process. But for someone else who's thinking about writing a book and who's going through this process, is there any way to protect themselves?
Well, if the proof comes out drastically, if the final copy comes out drastically different from the proof, you would easily be able to, if the printer refused to work with you and, you know, fix the mistake, then I suppose you could take them to small claims court over it. I'm sure they would side with you if it looked nothing like the proof that you signed off on.
Right.
But I think my case, unless you had similar bright colors and things like that, otherwise I don't think you would have too much of a problem with it.
And so did you have to pay 100% before they shipped them?
Yes.
Yeah. So
I think the first time we did, the second time they worked with us a little bit, I think we received the copies before we paid the final check. But the first time the books were done, we didn't have them send a book over. We just waited to get the full shipment. So we just paid before they actually shipped the books.
Okay. Would you next time actually... It was Minnesota, right, where the printer is?
Yeah.
Would you actually fly there on starting on print day just to make sure that they were doing it correctly?
Maybe I would do that the second time around.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's such a big expense. Okay, so that was one mistake. I mean, not really your mistake, but someone else's.
Kind of a big mistake, though.
Yeah, big and costly and time-consuming. Were there any mistakes that you made that, thinking back, you're like, you know what? I really would have done it this other way. I really should have.
I don't think so. I mean, I would have to rethink the entire book to say that I should have illustrated it differently just to make it easier on myself. But I did, for as frustrating as the book was to, you know, create this new style of illustration, it was also kind of fun and rewarding to be finally finished with it and enjoy the final product.
Right. Now,
so
if Lariat has new adventures, would you create it the same way? Would you illustrate it the same way?
I don't know that I would. I haven't really thought about Lariat having new adventures, but I did think about if I did another book, I would maybe do an Under the Sea version of some animals that were hybrids under the sea. And I would do it the same way. But I think I would be able to do it a lot quicker the second time around.
Right, right. Yeah, just from learning the process, I'm sure you could. All right, is there anything else that you would want to share with someone who's got the idea and would love to have written a children's book, but they're just, you know, not really sure where to get started? Any advice to them?
I think the best advice that I could give is to find someone who's done it before and talk to them. Learn from someone else's experience. I would have loved to have been able to listen to a podcast like this, someone talking about their experience, or talk to someone in person who had done it that way. But I unfortunately didn't seek anyone out or come across anyone who had done it. So, but I think we did okay. We didn't make too many mistakes. We made one major one, but it could have been worse.
Right. And again, that mistake really wasn't your own. There was very little, it sounds like, you could have done to prevent that.
Yes, it was hard to prevent it. We could have been, flown out there. We could have, I think there was a more expensive proof we could have paid for that they gave us the second time around, actually, but we thought that one actually matched less. So it was kind of hard to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And so now, because you have this experience, one, you're a graphic designer, you can illustrate children's books, you have a company that can create websites and maybe even iPad applications. Are you thinking about offering your expertise and your services to others who want to create a children's book?
Yeah, absolutely. We've thought about that, and that actually gives me less of a headache than thinking about doing it myself again. Especially developing the iPad version. We found that to be very easy. My husband had programmers that he has worked with for years that we use, so we were very comfortable with them, and that was a very easy process, and we thought that would be a really great thing to be able to help people out with.
Yeah, and so what is the name of your company?
Our company is Brozen Creative. That's the company, our graphic design and marketing company. It's BROSENCreative.com, and our book company is Brozen Books, so they have the same name.
Okay, and I'm going to put you on the spot. You can just sort of guess if you want. I'm just thinking, if someone has this idea for a children's book, they've had it for years, they're not an illustrator, they're not a graphic designer, they're not a web developer, how much would you guess would it cost them to actually have the illustrator create the illustrations, to have the book printed, maybe 2,000 copies, to have a website done, to be on Amazon, to get the ISBN? Basically, from idea to book, could you throw out just a guesstimate on how much that would cost?
I guess it would depend a lot on the designers involved would be your biggest variation of cost. If you could find an artist who wanted to split the profits with you, obviously that would be the cheapest way to go as far as initial upfront cost. But hiring an illustrator could probably be pretty expensive. And then hiring a designer to lay out the book and to do your website, and then including, like, printing 2,000 copies, you're probably looking at least $20,000 if you are not working something out, sharing profits with someone.
That's a big number, but I love the idea, and I've actually written about it myself. This idea of partnering with others and each bringing your own areas of expertise to the venture, and then of course sharing in the profits. I think that is by far the best business model if you don't have the expertise. to find someone who does and to work on it jointly. Because 20 grand, it's a lot of money for someone out there who just has an idea. But if they can find the illustrator, maybe you cut that number in half or maybe even more. I'm not sure. But I think that's great.
Yeah.
I think it really gives someone an idea of what it actually costs. So this has been absolutely fantastic. I have learned a great deal. And so I want to really just thank you for your time and again say I think your book is fantastic. And why don't you give everyone your website addresses again?
Okay. Well, you can purchase the book at www.lariot.com. That's LARRIOT.com. And if you are interested in having talking with us, just we can answer some questions for you, or interested in us helping you with some projects on your book, you can contact us through brosencreative.com, which is www.brosencreative.com.
That's great. And so also, if listeners out there, if you want to learn more, if you want to get the transcripts from this interview, go to richerlife.com. And again, I think this has been fantastic. So thank you again, Megan, for your time.
Thank you for having me, Robert.
Bye.
Bye.